WRKC is proud to present a new weekly drama, The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our first episode, A Picture of Innocence.
Another week had passed, and I was getting desperate. I hadn't paid my secretary, Deborah, in a month and a half, and I had a feeling her patience was running out. Just little hints from her. A half-empty cup of coffee, the door closed a little harder than normal, sections of the classified circled in red pen. When the door opened, I was convinced she had come in to give notice. Instead, she let in a goddess.
Mr. Flynn, and Miss Eva Goldburn to see you.
The wafting scent of her perfume came in and filled my small, cold office. She looked like all legs in a tight red cocktail dress. Well, not all legs. That'd look strange, but at least 60% legs.
Mr. Flynn, are you okay?
Her hair flowed like sunshine falling over her shoulders. Her form svelte.
Mr. Flynn!
What? Thank you, Deborah. Mrs. Goldburn, please, come inside and sit down.
Thank you very much, Mr. Flynn.
Please, call me Harry. What seems to be the problem? The perfume and the view were distracting enough without her exotic accent. I placed her from the Soviet Union, probably near Moscow.
It's for my husband, William. He runs the museum downtown, and they've been hit by some robberies. At first, when it was just a missing statuette from an exhibit on a Himalayan mountain man, he assumed it had been dropped or misplaced. But every week, there was some new item due to arrive at the museum that never quite reaches display. This time, it's a painting of a young girl in a field, estimated to be worth over $800,000. He's worried, and already enough of his plate without this thief on the loose. If we don't figure out who's taking them, he'll lose his job.
Well, it won't come to that, Eva. Do you have any leads? Anything suspicious about the museum?
I don't know. There's a tall man with freckles who's been around the loading area. I mean, there's nothing specific. But he started hanging around when the first piece was stolen. Does that help?
Hard to say, Eva. It may just be exactly what we need to save your husband's job. Got a list of the stolen pieces and the address of the museum, and Eva went on her way. I left a minute and a congratulatory gin and tonic later.
Was it a case? A real case?
Looks like it.
So I'm finally getting paid?
Let's not jump to any conclusions. I brushed by my surprised secretary before she could complain, and within the hour I was standing in the front of the museum with the curator. A tiny, nervous-looking man with glasses the size of dinner plates, a cheap wool suit, and black leather shoes that looked like they cost more than they were worth. I got the idea that you didn't want my help.
I don't want your help.
But Mr. Goldburn, if I could just look around...
That won't be necessary. We have security here and can take care of it fine without you snooping around.
I just need to...
Security. See this man to his car.
I didn't grant him the satisfaction of seeing his goons in action. I left the building and circled around to see if I couldn't find a tall, freckled man. The museum shared an alley with an office building with predictable contents. A couple of overturned garbage cans, the worst sign of foul play. Behind the museum, there was a loading dock. I snooped around for a bit, but didn't find anything remarkable. Just before I left, I noticed a matchbook imprinted with the outline of a woman and the words, "The Side Door." I headed to its address, located in the less fortunate side of town, to see if I'd gotten lucky. The side door turned out to be a run-down little club halfway through an alley that looked like it had seen better days. If it weren't for the giant of a man standing outside, it could be mistaken for an emergency exit. Hey, this the side door?
You a cop?
No.
Then this is the side door.
I moved to step in, but was stopped by a giant hand on my chest.
Gotta check you for weapons. Don't want any trouble. Can't leave you bring this in, but you can have it when you leave.
I took my .44 and I went into the bar. It had all the trappings of a real dive. Already the place was nearly full, and I'd have had a hard time finding a table if I was looking for one. But I wasn't. I was looking for answers. A quick sweep of the room told me that I'd have a hard time getting any of the customers to pay attention to anything other than their drinks or the pretty young things bringing them. So I took a seat at the bar and waited for the tender, a thin man with a mop of yellow hair and an ugly tie. He was apparently more concerned with flirting with a waitress than serving drinks. Hey, Mac! Some service over here!
What? All right, hold your horses. I'm coming. What'll it be?
A shot of whiskey and a minute of your time.
The whiskey's no problem, but I'm really very busy.
What a... 20 make time for a talk?
You ever work in a bar, friend?
No.
Same answer.
All right, here's 50. If you can't make some time for that...
And here's your whiskey. What's the question?
Your bouncer was asking me if I was a cop. Anything I should be worried about?
Nah, just business. We've got a lot of men who have a talent for selling things people want to buy, but the cops don't take too kindly to.
Which explains my business associate wanting to meet me here. Any chance you've seen a tall man with freckles tonight?
Oh, yeah. He'll be in the back. Right through there.
Thanks, friend. Buy your lady a drink for me. Tossed another 10 on the counter, finished my drink, and stowed the shot glass in my pocket. Heading toward the back room gave me views of more crooked looks, mean eyes, and wrongful dealings than most respectable people see in their lives. I went through the door and looked for the tall, freckled man. I didn't look long. Eva hadn't been lying when she said he was tall and freckled, in the same way it isn't lying to say a skyscraper has a first and second floor. Technically true, but missing the bigger picture. He was tall, and while tall covered his nearly 7 feet of height, it didn't address his shoulders, which were as broad as 3 normal men. His biceps were as thick as my thighs, and he had fists that largely resembled Christmas hams. The freckles were there, but on a face that brimmed with unintelligent rage against everything around him. Unfortunately, he was my only lead. So I approached him, feeling more like David looking at Goliath with every step. "Hey, friend, you got a minute?" His beady eyes looked up from his drink with confusion at being addressed.
"Talk quick."
"I'm here to buy something. A certain painting of a girl in a field. You seen it?"
"Don't know what you're talking about."
"Look, pal, I know you know about the painting, and a couple of other little knickknacks you've been picking up. Now spill."
"Leave."
"Not happening. Maybe I ought to go call the boys in blue. See if they can't get you talking. Instead of talking, you did something I probably should have expected." His fist was like a cannonball to the stomach and knocked the wind out of me. I kicked his legs out from under him and gave him a couple of hard socks to the face. Then one of his giant hands grabbed my neck and began to squeeze. The world started to dim as I fought to stop him from strangling the life out of me.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of The Picture of Innocence, but first, a word from our sponsor.
There are some smells that linger in women's imaginations. The wafting aroma of a burnt-out cigarette, the gentle bitterness of a cup of day-old coffee, the sharp aroma of a down shot of gin. But sometimes, achieving these smells can take days upon days of little to no effort and hygiene.
"I'm not attracted to my man unless he smells like neglect."
"Well, ma'am, have we got a product for you. From the brilliant smellsmith that brought you regret and disillusionment comes a new fragrance, Neglect. Neglect starts with a clean, top note of burnt cigarette butts and a stagnant puddle of water on a busy street. This leads into the powerful scents of gin, whiskey, and Jack Daniels, culminating with a base of soggy day-old coffee grounds. This scent is practically irresistible to women."
"That's how I like my men."
"Neglect. For men who want to smell like men. Now available at Big Al's Classy Wholesale Smell Shop. Locations in the Pennsylvania-New Jersey area. Mostly New Jersey."
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
Halfway through the fight, it dawned on me. I was doing it all wrong. I was trying to pit my brawn against a modern-day Goliath. Time for David to use his slingshot.
Ah!
Unfortunately, the bouncer had taken my piece. Luckily, I'd planned ahead. I grabbed my shot glass, pressed it into the back of his head, and prayed to anyone who'd listen that he wouldn't catch wise. "All right, Patty. Start talking, or the last thing to go through your mind will be my bullet." "First things first. What's your name?"
"Connor. Connor McCourt."
"Well, Connor McCourt, what happened to all those paintings you stole from the museum?"
I don't know."
I was pretty sure he knew, so I pressed the shot glass up against his head harder.
"All right! All right, they're at 239 Cape Road, out on Long Crown Shore, in a nice beach house overlooking the sea. I dropped them all off there."
"Who hired you?"
"I don't know, I swear."
"Connor?"
"I swear to God, I don't know. He used a contact. I didn't even get to see the contact's face. He just gave me an envelope with my instructions, that address, and my cup."
"Did the contact say anything to you?"
"No, just gave me the envelope and left."
"Anything else?"
"Well, his shoes were unique."
"Unique?"
Yeah, very unique."
"Thanks, Connor. You've been a big help." Turned his head to the right so he could see me take a shot with what I used to interrogate him. I then got up, got my piece from the bouncer, and walked out of the club. In retrospect, the whole macho shot thing wasn't the best idea, because he caught up with me and proceeded to beat the ever-loving hell out of my car with me in it. Thank God I locked the doors. So after grabbing some coffee and cigs at a gas station and making a quick call, I had my cabbie drive me down to 239 Cape Road. Nice little beach house. Nice little mansion. I made my way up the limestone steps to the ornately carved black oak doors. I'm not much for knocking, so I just let myself in. There were no cars in the front of the house and no indicators that anyone was home. Upon inspection of the second floor, I found a well-stocked bar. I made myself at home. I was tasting some particularly delicious 12-year-old scotch when I heard someone behind me. I turned around and almost stuck my face right into a pea shooter.
"Can I help you?"
At the other end of the pea shooter was a buxom blonde bombshell. No time to appreciate her. "Yeah, you can help me. You can show me where those paintings are.
Oh, they're here. Excuse me, I didn't catch your name, Mr...
Flynn. Detective Flynn. And you are?
Verna Baker. Well, Mr. Detective Flynn, I'd offer you a drink, but you already took the liberty. Cigar?
No, thanks. Paintings would be nice.
Well, I'm afraid they're out of season.
Look, Missy, I'm tired of playing games. Show me where those paintings are now.
Very well. Follow me. There. Those tubes have the paintings you're looking for.
All right, hand them over.
Mr. Flynn, I don't know if you're new at this or just naive, but let me give you a pointer. The one with the gun usually gives the orders.
Miss Baker, I do believe you're mistaken. It's not the person with the gun. It's the person with the better gun. And I've got the better gun.
Hold it right there, Detective. Don't be rash.
I knew I'd heard that voice before, only mousier and much, much less confident. I turned around to see the museum curator pointing a gun at my head. All of my focus was devoted to Verna and those paintings. Damn! I knew I should stop drinking on the job. We all looked at each other, guns in hands, for about 3 minutes before anyone said anything. Nice shoes. So, I'm guessing your wife doesn't know about you two, does she? Otherwise, she might not have been too concerned.
Ah, you misunderstand, Mr. Flynn. Although Verna is quite beautiful, I didn't solicit her house because of it. I solicited her because of her talents. You see, Miss Verna Baker just happens to be the finest reproduction artist on the Eastern Seaboard.
This is my workhouse. The sea inspires me to do some of my greatest copy work.
And, by the way, how is that coming along?
I finished the last copy 2 hours ago.
Then you, my dear, have just outlived your usefulness.
What?
My God, man! You've killed her!
It was necessary to keep her quiet. She won't be talking anytime soon.
Yeah, but I mean, really? You couldn't have paid her off or anything?
Oh. Whoops. Boy, that would have been smarter, huh?
You mentioned duplicates. Were you going to hawk them and keep the real ones for yourself?
Yes and no. I wanted to drive up interest in these paintings. Not dollar interest, real human interest. So I decided I would sell the copies on the black market. Meanwhile, possible sightings of the paintings would buzz like wildfire through the art community. Finally, I would purchase back the black market versions, destroy them, and return the originals to the museum. Art lovers from all over would flock here to see these rumored masterpieces.
So you did this all for museum revenue? That's a nice and convoluted way to get rich.
You don't get it at all, do you? I wasn't in it for the money. I was in it for the art. I love that museum as if it were my own child. I nurtured it, I cared for it, I made it beautiful. I didn't do this for money. I did it to save my baby.
All right, I get the motive, I get the means, but there's still one thing I don't understand.
What's that?
Well, it's just... Well, why did you shoot that girl? From what you've told me, that doesn't really fit with your character.
Oh, well, I don't know. Just kind of got into it, you know? Pointing a gun at a detective... Doing forgeries? Guess I just got excited.
You know, the cops aren't going to be too happy.
Cops?
Yeah. After I got the address of this place, I took the liberty of calling the cops as backup. I'm sorry there, but you're probably going away for a long time.
Okay. I'll go with you. I'm sorry, I'm a little jittery. Do you mind if I get some air?
Not at all.
Ah, simply beautiful.
Hey, wait! Damn it, no!
Ah!
William had decided to take a terminal swim. Great. That's going to look wonderful on this case file.
Oh, whoopsie doodle. Looks like a trip to... Whoa, man, what is that?
I'll tell you on the ride down to the precinct. By the way, could you give me a lift? We rode down to the precinct and I told them all about the case. We called in his wife and told her to. After she was done crying, one of the boys took her home. They sent a crew back down to the beach to search the area for a body. Never found one. I went back to the office to inform my secretary that I was alive, like she'd actually care. I ended the night drinking half a bottle of some crappy liquor the boys in blue gave me for a job well done. Well, sun's almost down. Time for me to hit the sack and get ready for tomorrow when some other grisly crime, confusing heist, or strange murder slapped on my desk. It's a job.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, The Picture of Innocence, was written by Brandon Leon Gambetta and Lucas Tomasacci. Our cast for this week was Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn, Drake Nestor as William Goldberg, the museum curator, the bartender at the side door, and the classy smeller. Brandy George as Deborah the Secretary and Miss Verna Baker, Elsbeth Williams as Eva Goldburn and Classy Woman, Lucas Tomasacci as the Bouncer at the Side Door, Connor McCourt, Officer Spinelli, and the Announcer. If you'd like to write or perform in The Adventures of Harry Flynn, find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening to The Adventures of Harry Flynn on WRKC, Radio King's College in Wilkes-Barre.